Looking for your next unforgettable getaway? Discover Wheeling, West Virginia, where history meets adventure. Stroll through charming downtown streets, explore the iconic Wheeling Suspension Bridge, and catch a show at the Capitol Theater. From scenic riverfront views to family fun at Ogle Bay, why Wheeling? Why not? Plan your trip today at visitwheelingwv.com. Your gateway to the friendly city.
The Hard Shoulder with Kira Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with Kia.
Kids, getting kids off games is the struggle of many parents. Games are designed to offer something to capture your attention every 40 seconds. No wonder it's a battle. So wrote Breed O'Brien, Irish Times columnist, who joins us now. Breed, what prompted you to write this piece, particularly about, I think it's particularly relating to Fortnite?
Yeah, it's actually, and probably I have Roblox more in my sights than Fortnite, okay. Even if that were possible.
Sure.
I have to explain to your listeners, I'm not a gamer, and I was really anti-games until I saw the positive side of them with my, you know, my children and my now adult children. But I see that, you know, that games can be art, games can be fun, they can build skills. But it's a bit like the alcohol industry. There's no money to be made out of the person who has a glass of wine once a week. You have to push the person more and more towards drinking heavily. And the way that games are designed now in particular, and I would say in the last 5 to 8 years even more so, they're actually employing psychologists to make these games what are called sticky. In other words, that once you start, you can't stop.
Wow.
And it's I find that kind of scary. And it's actually working against the enjoyable and the kind of communal aspect of games, because when you're addicted, it's no fun. It's no fun for the family around you. It's no fun for yourself.
You talk in your piece about the comparison with gambling. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, this kind of, it helped something to click for me, I think, because I read a blog by a guy called Joey Schutz, and he was talking about a book that was written about gambling machines in Las Vegas and how they were designed. And it really is exactly the same as the way that they're designing games now. It's got this intermittent reward thing going on. But what was fascinating to me was that the person who investigated this said, it's not really about money. It's about being in this kind of flow state where you're almost one with the machine and nothing else matters. And like a flow state is a good thing, right? But it's being weaponized to keep people gambling. And now the same mechanism is being used to keep people gaming.
Mm. So, yeah, like a flow state, like when I think back to being, you know, a teenager playing football on a football pitch, and you would get into that flow state, and it was fantastic. But you're saying it's more sinister when it's obviously gambling, that goes without saying, but even playing video games, you think it's not a good thing?
Well, I think that there... Well, for example, take some of the games that I would describe as a form of art, like The Shadow of the Colossus, Zelda Breath of the Wild, you know, Clair Obscur.
I'll tell you, for a non-gamer, Breedy, you know your games.
I spend a lot of time in the sitting room with my gaming family.
Yeah, fair.
But they're beautiful, they're immersive, they're artistic. And achieving a flow state in that, to me, is really, really different to kind of finding that you can't get off Fortnite or that your family discovers that their credit card has been maxed out on Robux, which is the currency of the Roblox game. So it seems to me that there's an entirely different thing going on here. And unfortunately, the way the gaming industry is now, these kind of... And also, Shane, let's face it, some games are just fun. Like, if you have a gang of teenagers gathered around Mario Kart and they're all shouting, and it's great, it's fun. But you can put it down and you can maybe go outside and knock a football around or whatever. It's this kind of insidious kind of... addictive element to games that I think is really scary.
Tell me why you have Roblox in your sights.
I just think it's an astonishingly ugly and dangerous platform. And I'm sure the Roblox people would say that they're implementing parental safety controls, that they're disabling chat for people under the age of 9 and so on. It looks ugly for starters, but that's just an aesthetic thing. What I'm much more concerned about is that everything on it is created by the people who use it. And so there's a really scary blog about this on After Babel, which is Jonathan Haidt. I'm sure many of your listeners know Jonathan Haidt. He wrote that book, The Anxious Generation, about smartphone addiction. But somebody goes in, I think, as a 9-year-old, pretending to be a 9-year-old, and what they can actually access, everything from a game designed to look like a mass shooting in a classroom, to pornography, to, I mean, just absolutely foul stuff as a 9-year-old. And then there is the famous cases. If you put into any search engine, my family lost hundreds or thousands to Roblox, you will get page after page after page of, because Roblox will say it's free to pay and play, and that's true. It is free to play. But the minute you go in, you're encouraged to buy skins, you're encouraged to buy items, yeah. I just think it's particularly insidious. And the fact that you can be as young as 5 and set up an account on it. And I also think a lot of the innocent games kind of fool parents into a sort of a false sense of security. They don't realise how easy it is to wander out of the more innocent, you know, maybe dress to impress or something like that, and into something entirely different. And as well, the chat function, is very, very dangerous because you're interacting with complete strangers, and that complete stranger who's pretending to be, a 10-year-old may not necessarily be.
Just finally, you write that you witnessed a 30-something dad play a console game, and his 4-year-old son, he said, you can watch as long as you don't interrupt. Tell us about that and what you made of that.
I just found it really fascinating as a bit of kind of social psychology in a way. I was in a waiting room for a medical appointment, and I saw this, 30-something dad with the console, and there was this absolutely gorgeous little boy, 4 at the oldest, I would say. And the deal was he could watch dad so long as he didn't interrupt. And honest to God, watching this little fella, literally every time his mouth opened, he clamped it shut. Every time he went to jiggle too much, you could see him visibly controlling himself. He really wanted to be part of this experience with dad. And it reminded me of men of my father's generation who would very gruffly say to, a little boy, yeah, you can watch me while I'm chopping wood so long as you stay 6 feet away and don't open your mouth. Or you can watch me tinker with the engine so long as you don't come near me, kind of thing. And then gradually, as the child got older and more capable, they'd be handed a blunt axe or they'd be handed a rag to wipe something on the engine. It actually reminded me of this. But this was induction into gaming. And Shane, I'm going to sound insatiably curious here. I would have given a lot to see what game was on the console, but I couldn't.
Yeah, fair enough. Have you advice for parents, or are you shying away from that?
I don't feel qualified to give advice.
Yeah, sorry, and I guess you might say that.
No, but maybe one thing. Games fill a need. So looking at what need the game is filling, like a lot of parents are terrified because the summer is coming up and their child is going to be in a darkened room for the entire summer, obsessively playing games. But what are they playing? Are they playing online with friends? Because that's the only way that they can actually connect with people. What's actually going on there? And the usual thing, you don't go in there all guns blazing and, slam off the game and say you're going outside. When they're not actually gaming, what do you think people your age get out of stuff like this, or what's the game that everyone's playing, or, kind of third party questions, and trying to build up a connection there. And you'll often find that if you don't go in there threatening to take it all away and burn it all down, that they're not crazy about it either, and they would be, maybe prefer to be doing other things. It's kind of like all parenting, which is a tough station, as we all know.
Well, certainly I'll agree with you on that, absolutely. Listen, really interesting piece, and thank you for that insight. Breed O'Brien there, Irish Times columnist. You can read Breed, I think it's every Saturday in the Irish Times, Breed, is that right? No, Breed is gone. I think I think it's every... Oh, but is it every Saturday in the Irish Times you're calling?
It is every Saturday in the Irish Times.
Great. Listen, thanks again for talking to us.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With Kia.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.